In Acts chapter 18 this morning, Acts chapter 18, we find ourselves still with Paul in the city of Corinth. As we learned last week, what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. Now, this week, me and my family watched a movie together. We watched a movie called Rocky Balboa. It's part six, I think, of the Rocky franchise. And Rocky's an old dude in the movie. He's like 55. And the movie starts off, and Adrian has died. Rocky's love. Like, the woman he loves most is gone. And the whole part opening of the movie is Rocky going to different places where him and Adrian used to hang out and just being sad about Adrian's absence. And watching the movie, I say out loud to my children, I'm like, kids, if your mama died on me, I would be a sad, broken old man like Rocky. And in that, my kids, with their incredible sensitivity, my daughter said to me, well, why don't you just die first then? I was like, shut up and watch the movie. No, I'm just kidding. But what's funny is that in my life, when I was a kid, when I was like 14, 15, 16 years old, two times in my life, I have been hit by a car while a pedestrian. Twice my mom has been called because her son has been struck and left on the side of the road by a car. So one day I'm biking home from work, and I decided to stop by and get some ice cream at Dairy Queen or something. So I'm running late. It's a 5-mile bike home, and I'm running late. My mom starts freaking out. She thinks he got hit again. You know, she's like, so I finally get home. And I walk in the door. She's crying. She's hugging me, kissing me. Oh, mijo, I thought something happened to you. I'm like, Mom, I'm fine. And then she says this line to me. She's like, mijo, you promised me right now that you will not die before me. I'm like, Ma, I can't. She's like, promise me. I'm like, okay, Ma, I promise you I won't die before you. She's like, that's a good boy. And I'm like, that's a bad promise, right? That's a really bad promise. Do you know why? I have no authority and no power to keep that promise. It's hard to keep a little promise, let alone an impossible promise. Just the other day, I come home and I see on the counter that Angie, my wife, bought some honeycomb. And I love honeycomb cereal. But the box is almost all gone, so I'm like, I'm getting me a bowl. So I pour a bowl, and I finish the box. Lena comes in, and she's like, that was my box of honeycomb. I'm like, that's a family box of honeycomb. Like, you ate a 3/4 out of your quarter, that's fair. And when she's real upset about it, so I'm like, listen. I'm like, Aunt Lena, I promise I'll buy you more honeycomb. She's like, when? I'm like, tomorrow. Next day comes, real busy day for our family. We had midweek that day. We had all this stuff happening. I had all these appointments and stuff. So we come home after church. It's like 8:30. And Lena's like, Dad, where's my honeycomb? I'm like, Lena, it was a busy day. She goes, you promised. I'm like, I'll buy some tomorrow. She goes, you promised today. Listen, even the little promise of buying us a cereal, sometimes we fail. Keeping promises is hard because sometimes the plans change. Sometimes the train blocks doesn't relate to a thing. It happens all the time to us. But here's the thing. Even though we as promisers often fail the people we promise, the God of heaven, when he makes a promise, he doesn't fail. Because God has all the power and all the authority. When he makes a promise, we can actually trust it. And in Acts 18, in the city of Corinth, the Lord makes an awesome promise to the Apostle Paul. This is what it says, Acts 18, verse 9. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no man will lay a hand on you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. So, the promise to Paul is, if you stay in the city and keep on teaching, I promise you, no one will hurt you. Now, this is a very big promise because Paul, Every city he's preached in to this point, I mean, starting in Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, eventually the crowds get angry and they try to hurt him. Sometimes they hurt him bad. There's a few times they throw him down, get big old rocks, and throw the rock at Paul until they think he's dead and leave him outside the city gates. Paul takes some beatings in his life. But usually what happens when the crowd starts, his friends will sneak him out of the city and say, get out of here, go somewhere else, and he'll run away and go to the next town. Usually when the going gets tough, Paul gets going. That's what he does. He lives to preach another day. But here God says, Paul, if you stay here, they won't beat you. If you stay here, no one will lay a hand on you, for I am with you. Now, what does Paul do? Verse 11. He stayed there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. You know what Paul does? Paul believes God. The promise came. He heard the promise and had a decision to make. Am I going to trust that this promise is true? And he decides, I can trust my Lord. And he stays in Corinth for 18 months teaching the word. And guess what? Nobody lays a hand on him. And we learn from this moment that the promises of God are trustworthy. The promises of God are trustworthy. We're able to put our trust in them. But here's the thing. This is a hard thing to do, to actually trust that what God says is true and he's able to perform them. For example, here's a few promises that many of us don't like following. One of the promises in Psalm 1, God says, blessed is the man who meditates on God's word day and night. He will be like a tree planted by streams of living water. The promise is, if I am in the word, I will grow roots in the Lord, and those roots will make me strong. So I know that promise, but many of us don't ever open the word and never grow those roots. Another promise the Lord makes, the Lord says, Jesus says once in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, if you hear these words of mine and live by them, you will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rains fall and the floods rise and the wind blows and beats against that house, it will not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. What a promise. Christ says, if we build our lives on the teachings of Christ, when the storms of life hit us, it won't knock our life down. But then he says, he flips it around, he goes, but if you hear these words of mine and do not live by them, you will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. And when the rains fell and the floods rise and the wind beat against that house fell, and great was the fall of it. We hear these promises of the Lord, and sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. The other day I had a moment where I had to really ask myself the question, do I believe the promises? Am I going to build my life on the teachings of Christ or not? See, the other night here at church, the other day, it's the middle of the day, I'm alone in the office, the door's unlocked, and someone runs in the building. And they run in fast and run past my office. I'm like, is it the ghost? No, I'm just kidding. I saw someone walk by. So I get up, I'm like, hello? And someone's like, I'm in the bathroom. I'm like, okay, so I wait. A lady comes out of the bathroom, and this lady, she was fleeing a domestic violence situation. Someone had been smacking her around, and she ran to the church to find some security, some protection, some safety. And I'm like, go sit here, got her some water, you're okay. I called Miss Angela and Miss Sylvia to come back to the office. I'm like, guys, come here, I got a thing going on. They come back, we make sure she's safe, we get her what she needs, we call some shelters in the area to help get her in a place that's safe and secure. Well, when they came back, Miss Sylvia, she's a sweet lady here at the church, she brought me a popsicle. And I was like, thank you, and I started eating it. So we're just getting stuff ready, and I got a popsicle in my hand, and it's one of those strawberry, real fruit strawberry popsicles. Real expensive, like four come in a box. They're brutal, but I had one. So I'm just savoring that bad boy. I'm not even biting. I'm just like, sucking on it. But all of a sudden, a car screeches in the parking lot. And it's the guy. It's her boyfriend. It's the guy that I'm having trouble with. And I feel it happen inside me very quickly. This is a bad moment. So the first thing I do is I eat the popsicle. Because you can't look tough with a popsicle in your hand. I'm like, hey, what you doing here? So I was like, oh, I ate the whole thing in one shot. I'm like, try to eat it quick. So I wait, I finish it, put the popsicle in my mouth, and the stick in my mouth, and I walk out. And he's looking for the girl, and he knows she's there. Now, I don't know about you guys. Because of the way I grew up as a kid, I've always had this reaction. It happens so fast, I often can't control it. If I see a man hurt a woman, I think a switch clicks inside of me, and I want to engage them in a violent way. So when that guy pulls in, that old man in me, that the flesh, the street, the flint is like, you come to my house, you don't know who I am. You feel all the things in you. So I go outside. Gets out of the car. He's got a cigarette. I got a popsicle stick, so we're both just looking tough and cool. And there's these two voices in my head, and one voice. When I was a kid, my mom used to tell me, it's not great advice, but it's what my mom said. We grew up in Flint. It was a tough life. We grew up on the east side. My mom always said, if there's going to be a fight, you might as well hit him first. That was my mom's advice to me as a kid. That's what she told me. I'm like, okay, mama. But that's how we grew up in school, you know. But then I meet Jesus, and Jesus tells me other stuff. Jesus is telling me stuff like, remember what Jesus tells Peter the one time? And when Jesus gets arrested, Peter goes at the guy with the sword, and Christ tells him, Peter, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. That's a promise. He's like, listen, if you choose life of violence, your life will have a violent end. So and I'm walking out, and part of me is like, let's go. And part of me is like, you need to be a godly man right now. And it's hard because I know the promises of God. I know what he says. And if I build my life on his teaching, I build a good house. I build my house on the rock. But part of me is like, I don't give a rip right now about the rock. I just want to rock this fool. So there's these two things going on in me. As I see him and he engages me, right before we begin our conversation. You have to make the decision before you engage. I can't go in there blank. I got to make the choice before he opens his mouth because I know it's going to be stupid. It's going to be loud. It's going to be aggressive. I got to know what I'm going to do before he even opens his mouth. And so as I'm walking out the door, I lock it behind me. Someone's locked inside the building. The choice is made. Okay, Lord, we're going to do this your way. You say you got this. You got this, so I'm polite. Excuse me, sir, may I help you? It's tough. And he mouths off immediately about her, about us, about me. He's cussing at me. And still, I feel it all like inside. I'm like, Lord, if this guy comes at me, I love you, I'm sorry. But if he don't make a step, I'm making a step. I'm gonna do this your way, Lord. So he's talking all this trash, saying all this stuff. And eventually I finally say to him, sir, you need to leave. And again, I don't yell at all. I keep it this calm the whole time. Well, calmer than this. I'm like, sir, you need to leave. He goes, whatever, cuss, gets in his car, drives away. And I was like, listen, in your life, you will face moments where you must ask the question, what am I going to do? Am I going to do it God's way or my way? God's way or the way of the street? And it's tough because the street way, sometimes it sounds good. But we know building a house on the sand, eventually a house is going to fall down. The best part of me wants to do it the Lord's way. And listen, in the very near future, there's going to be some tough times for a lot of us. Listen, right down the street here on Davison Road, there are layoffs happening at the GM plant. There are other factories in the city also having layoffs. Inflation this month was real bad. Some of us may quickly feel our financial worlds tighten and get difficult. And that happens when money is short. Do I do it God's way? What does God say? He says, to the thief, no longer steal. Work with your hands. Earn some money so you may share it with your neighbors. That's God's way. Don't steal, don't hustle, don't lie, don't deceive. Work hard so you have something to share with others. Do I do it God's way or do I do it the Flint way where I hustle and lie and just do what I got to do to get mine? The promises of God are trustworthy. We know what the promises are. The question is, will I rest myself in the Lord's hands? Will I trust him? I hope you do. The other day when that guy came, I decided, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to do it your way. I didn't yell, insult. I was polite. I wasn't even rude. That's tough, man. I couldn't. Listen to this one. This also happened, no lie. Just 2 weeks ago, I walk in as a guy out in the parking lot. I'm like, I recognize the guy. I'm like, how do I know you? And he's talking to another dude, someone I know, guy's waiting for me in the parking lot. And turns out, years ago, someone came to this building and broke all the windows in the front. Remember that? Someone broke all the windows out with a 2x4 and broke the van window and broke the windows in the basement. And I was up here, I was screwing in plywood around the windows, and someone behind me goes, hey, Pastor, turn around. And it's this guy, and he's all bloody. And he's all, like, tore up. And I'm like, can I help you? He's like, hey, Pastor, I just want to tell you, I broke all these windows last night. And I'm like, why? And he told me, man, I got jumped at the Kroger. I was walking by the church, and I was all mad. And I saw the church, and I was mad at God, so I punched God in the face for breaking your windows. And I was like, well, don't do it again. He goes, okay, and he left. Like, again, I want to answer a fool and be like, you owe me money. I'm like, I'm going to sue you. I'm calling the cops. I'm like, just get out of here, dude. And he was in the parking lot 2 weeks ago, and he's telling a visitor, this church is the real deal. Because I did this to them, they didn't crush me for it. I'm like, okay, Lord, you say to trust you, and we see it bearing fruit. So I guess we're going to keep on trying to trust you with our life. The promises of God are trustworthy. I hope you decide to trust him. So Paul says, I'm going to stay in Corinth and preach. This is what happens next, though. After 18 months of preaching and ministering, this is what happens next. But while Galileo was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, this man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. What happens? There's a new governor in town. There's a new governor. And this governor, the Jews think, this new governor, he might, what will we do? This new governor, he will be on our side. He will take our team. This is the moment to get Paul. They go to Paul, they grab him, they arrest him, they bring him to the judgment seat. They say, this man breaks the law, let's get him. Now, in this moment, Paul probably thinks to himself, Lord, you promised me I would be safe. You promised me no one would lay a hand on me. Now, the promise meant you're not getting beat down. But listen to this. The promises of God are not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Remember Monopoly? Remember Monopoly? The chance card, get out of jail free. So you roll three doubles. I'm going to jail. You go to jail. But if you play that card, get out of jail for free. It's a great little card. And sometimes we think, if I'm following the Lord, if I'm going to church, if I'm reading my Bible, doing my devotions, I'm giving my money to the church, if I do these things, well, then nothing bad will happen to me. Listen, there is no promise that makes us exempt from the struggle of this life. Jesus says the opposite. Jesus says, in the world, you will have trouble. He promises us, if we live here, it's going to be stormy, it's going to be rocky, it's going to be tough. But he says, in this world you will have trouble, but take courage, I have overcome the world. You will have trouble, but if you're in me, I got you. Whatever you go through, I'm with you. And that's enough. The promises of God are not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Don't think that because you're with the Lord, you're going to be spared the pain of this life. There was a lady I knew. She's like a mother figure to me. And I called her. I'd call her for everything. I'd call her for tax advice. I'd call her when I bought my first house. I'm like, how do you do this? You know, she'd tell me. She was older than me. She would just tell me how to do stuff. And then one day, this sweet, godly woman had cancer that couldn't be treated. They told her, here's the time you have. And her first question was, why me? Why did I haven't done all these things, I had all these dreams for my life, and it's not going to happen. Why me? And she began praying to the Lord and seeking the Lord's face. The Lord in prayer taught her an incredible truth. She heard the Lord say to her, well, why not you? And she wrote a book, a little book. It's not like even, but it's out there. I have a copy in my office. The book's called Why Not Me? And she's like, listen, the world, the life's hard. We all get hit. Trust him anyway. It's a beautiful, beautiful story about trusting her life as she, her life as she got sicker and sicker and sicker. She suffered well. And with the last years of her life, she pointed many people to the goodness of Christ. The promises of God are not a get-out-of-jail-free card. So Paul, what's funny about Paul is he's kicked out of the synagogue, but someone gets saved in Corinth, and the guy who becomes a Christian lives next door to the synagogue. So the house church is right next to the synagogue, so every day they see one another. It's really kind of probably feels weird. But in Corinth, we have, archaeologists have excavated a lot of the city, so we found the synagogue in Corinth. We dug it up, we have it, and what's crazy is the synagogue is right across the street from the judgment seat in Corinth. They go get Paul to arrest him, they cross the street, and it's like, get him. That's what happens next. Verse 14. But when Paul was about to open his mouth, so Paul has been arrested. He's been brought before the governor. And Paul, thinking in his mind, he's like, I gotta have a great defense. I gotta be clever. I gotta be charming. I gotta be smart. Here I go. When he's about to speak in the courtroom, what's what happens? When Paul's about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, the governor speaks, if it were a wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you. But if there are questions about words and names in your own law, see to it yourselves. I am not willing to be a judge of these matters. And he drove them away from the judgment seat. So Paul is about to defend himself. He's about to say all these words, like to show he's not guilty. Before he speaks, the Roman governor speaks and throws the whole case out of court. Stick it up. Can you imagine being in court? Man, I've been in court before. I've been in court, mostly speeding tickets. One time I was in a church truck. I was in, what town was I in? Over there. 69, you go down towards the pier. You get off on M, is it 15? Is that M15 over there? So Lake Orion got me. They pulled me over. I'm speeding. I was wearing sweatpants because I was painting, so I had no license. And the church truck, I didn't realize, had no registration or insurance. I got nothing. And on the truck, it says Flint City Church. And the cop goes, I don't know how you do things in Flint, but out here, you need insurance. And I'm like, you stinking cop. So he gives me a bunch of tickets. No, cops are good. I'm sorry, not stinking cops. He's fine. No, I'm not dissing cops. We love cops here. So I get a bunch of tickets. I got to go back to Lake Orion and go and stand before the judge. And listen, I have all my, I brought all my paperwork. I got, here's the insurance registration. Here's my license. I'm going to be nice. Imagine if I'm in the courtroom and I'm hoping, please, Lord, only $200 in fees, only $300 in fines. No points on my license, please, Lord. And imagine the judge gets up and goes, pulled over in Lake Orion. You know what? You're all good. Get out of here with selling knees. No penalty. I'd be like, yeah, boy. It would be awesome. This is what happens to Paul. The case is thrown out because here's the reality. The promises of God are better than we can hope or imagine. The promises of God. Paul gets arrested. He's ready to defend himself. And God's like, Paul, I'm going to defend you. Don't worry about it. I got you. And Paul the Lord defends Paul. The Lord delivers Paul. And not only does the Lord deliver Paul, but Galileo's, his verdict protects Paul for the next 5 years because it creates a precedent in Roman court. Galileo says Christianity is a Jewish problem, which means from that moment forward, the Christians get the same legal protections as the Jews get. That single moment gives Paul a free pass for 5 years to preach in Rome. Now, when the Jews lose their protection, he'll lose his then. But he's got 5 years to preach in Ephesus, in Jerusalem. It's awesome. The Lord takes care of Paul and does more than Paul ever could have dreamed in this moment. So what I want to say to us is this. I started by talking about that guy who came to the building and facing him in that moment of, do I obey the Lord or not? He left in peace. I did not lose my testimony. I did not disobey the Lord whom I love. I want to say to us this. As you come to the crossroads in your life and ask the question, am I going to trust the Lord or not? Am I going to believe him or not? Am I going to cast my care upon him or not? My encouragement to you is very simple. Trust the Lord. Even if it's hard, even if it's scary, even if you don't know how you're going to make it go, I encourage you, trust the Lord's promises. If he makes the promise, he will come through. And we may not see how it's all going to shake out. I told my daughter the other day, there was some girl drama at the school. And with girl drama, there's a lot of gossip. I don't know if you know how girl drama works at school. But people talk about each other, and I told her, listen, I don't care what they say about you. You don't talk bad about them. We have to stand before the Lord and do things his way. And if we do, he will be our defender. He'll be our protector. We got to trust him. I know you want to get in the mud and you want to fight him. I know you want to fight evil with evil. But we believe that we cannot overcome evil with evil. We must overcome evil with good. This is the calling God has given to us. So my encouragement is very simple to you. Trust the Lord's promises. Trust the Lord's promises. Paul trusted the Lord in Corinth, and the Lord came through. It didn't look the way he thought it would. He didn't think he'd be in a courthouse. But even in the courthouse, God was with him. So, my encouragement to you is very simple. Trust the Lord's promises. He is worth trusting. With that said, let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word that is true. Think of the promises you make in your word. You promise that we will have trouble, but then you promise you'll be with us in the trouble. Lord, help us to trust you in the hard moment. Help us to trust you when things look bleak. Help us to trust you when we don't understand the why. Help us remember we know the who. We know you, and that is enough. Help us to hold on to our faith no matter what happens, Lord. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen.